They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What caused a modern cruise ship to sink in Italy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Rescue operations were suspended this morning on the sunken cruise ship just off the Italian coast. The cruise ship hit a reef Friday night. There was a frantic evacuation of about 4,200 people. At least six people have died. 16 remain unaccounted for, and rescue attempts were halted this morning because of rough seas. For some context, we turn to cruise ship industry analyst Julian Bray, who's with us now from Cambridge, England. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, how are people like you who watch the cruise ship industry making sense of this disaster? What went wrong here?
Everything. This is a disaster on so many different levels. You have a 21st century cruise ship, state-of-the-art, is built by one of the leading shipbuilders in Italy. It has state-of-the-art navigation systems. It is quite inconceivable that this could happen, and everything seems to have gone wrong here.
Did the size of the ship and the fact that we are dealing with bigger and bigger and bigger cruise ships have anything to do with this?
People say that the size of these mega cruise ships and that it is a problem getting people off. No, it isn't a problem getting people off, because the point is they do have the procedures all set. And so all the safety procedures are in place. It is clearly laid down, and for some reason, very few of the procedures were followed.
Julian, what kind of repercussions is this going to have on the industry as you see it at this point?
This is going to be quite a blow, because now is the season for actually thinking about your next holiday. Those who are new to cruising will certainly think twice about it. However, I would say to everybody that lessons will be learned, and hopefully some good will come out of this very black moment for the industry.
Julian Bray is a cruise ship industry analyst. Thank you so much, Julian.
Thank you, sir.
Well, voters in Taiwan went to the polls over the weekend and narrowly reelected Ma Ying-jeou to a second term as president. And Ma's victory is being seen as a show of popular support for closer economic ties between Taiwan and China. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz has more now from Shanghai.
President Ma held a press conference after his victory. He summed up the priorities of Taiwanese voters nervous about the local impact of a global economic downturn. Economy first, politics later, Ma said. In the past 4 years, Ma Ying-jeou has helped Taiwan strengthen economic and political ties with China. Chung Pin Lin, professor of international affairs at Taiwan's Tom Kong University, says the Taiwanese voted for the man who could sustain that relationship.
Economic stability this time is real and is a widely shared concern in the election.
It's a shared concern with the U.S. and Europe, too.
High-level people in Washington and in Canberra and in Tokyo and in the European capitals want to have some peace and stability in the world.
Monash University professor Bruce Jacobs is an expert on Taiwan politics.
Anything which keeps the Chinese happy, I think, is keeping some of the policymakers happy as well.
That's because China is one of the few remaining countries with rapid economic growth. It owns more than $1 trillion of U.S. debt, and U.S. companies are making more and more money there. Upsetting China could upset the bottom line. Jacob says Ma's win may please Beijing, but it also serves as a reminder to an authoritarian state that democracy is alive and well in Taiwan. There was 74% voter turnout on Saturday, and nearly 200,000 overseas Taiwanese who live in China went home just to vote.
When you actually have a democracy that's functioning, such as in Taiwan, and there's only four consolidated democracies in all of Asia, this is something valuable. It's something that should be encouraged.
It certainly wasn't encouraged by Beijing. China's government reportedly ordered mainland tour groups visiting Taiwan to stay inside their hotels on the day of election. That meant they didn't get any ideas from watching democracy in action. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, down about 1% in Hong Kong, up about 0.3% right now in Frankfurt. Wall Street closed today for the holiday. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow dropped 48 points to close at 12,422.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, which monitors mileage and safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate. Learn more at Progressive.com.
In Abu Dhabi today, the UN Secretary General said he wants the world to double its share of renewable energy by the year 2030. World leaders are gathered in Abu Dhabi for the World Future Energy Summit to talk about boosting the use of wind, solar, and other renewable sources of power. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
So a summit on renewable energy in a desert kingdom funded by oil? Well, it's not a total stretch, says Shail Khan. He's director of solar at GTM Research.
You would want to be having a conversation about the future of energy smack dab in the center of the energy world.
That energy world, in total, is mostly fossil fuels. You won't see any deals inked in Abu Dhabi to change that. But United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon wants to help the poorest nations avoid using more coal and oil.
The goal of leapfrogging fossil fuels and going straight to renewables is admirable, and I hope that we're going to get there.
Severin Borenstein heads the Energy Institute at Berkeley's Haas School of Business.
But rolling out the current technology is really much more expensive still in most locations than burning fossil fuels.
He says the developing nations' main goals are to grow their economies and reduce poverty. And as long as fossil fuel is cheaper, they'll use it. I'm Eve Tro from Marketplace.
And finally to Chicago, which has been auctioning off unneeded city property to make ends meet. Everything from cars to Xerox copier toners. According to the Chicago Sun-Times, the city raked in $3.6 million from the auctions last year, twice what it made in 2010. That's in part thanks to the sale of standalone fax machines to an unnamed South American government, which apparently still communicates by fax. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Somali refugees have been flooding south into Kenya, but the Kenyans have their own worries.
I met with the women's group, women who lost 7 of their 8 children. I listened. They said that they wanted health. There are too many women dying. We want it to stop.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the State of Aid in East Africa. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.